Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's the 19th of April, 2018, and it's blisteringly hot, at least for the UK. It's not a cloud in the sky. Some of the trees are now getting young leaves on them. Now this beautiful, pale, kind of luminescent green as the leaves are emerging. But it really is hot. Everything's growing like crazy. Seems odd, to say the least. I think that a couple of weeks ago we had the beast from the east and had days of sub-zero temperatures and good cover in the snow. And it was bitter. The weather's a bit mad in this country. It's very Heraclitean, everything's swirling and moving, changing. You can get four seasons in one day in this country, unlike some parts of the world, you know, where the seasons are very predictable. Anyway, I know you like to hear about the weather. If I were in the business of designing cities, I really would make sure that there was plenty of green space, water, trees, vegetation, wild bits, where nature could do its thing, where there'd be a lot of nesting and for birds and food supply and places for fish and insects. Instead of these car-centred people swarms. She'll be able to walk everywhere in uplifting surroundings. Hello. I do quite like the zeitgeist idea about designing places for people to live collectively. And designing a civilization, designing a culture, designing a habitat. Even though I think, having watched Peter Joseph talking and Jack Fresco and watched the Zeitgeist movies, I think there's two of them, I think there is a lacuna in their approach. And that they do need to consider as a separate study, which they could then meld into their existing considerations. The whole question of value. How do we evaluate the kind of, just take it for granted that they know what the good life is for people. And I don't think we can do that. I don't think we even can take it for granted that we know how to evaluate and decide upon which utopias to pursue, if you can put it like that, or, you know, just more modestly, which futures to pursue. I think there needs to be work on that. Philosophers need to work on it. But it needs to be a matter of public discourse as well. And it is hardly anywhere to be seen. And even such intelligence. Thinkers as Jacques Fresco and Peter Joseph do, it seems to me, have to be sort of rather thin on this area of evaluation. But we're so lucky to have this, and this remnant of a former infrastructure that's just willy-nilly turned into this beautiful wildlife reserve and place for people. And I've just been walking along the track there, and there have been three or four people fishing. And fishing, as you know, is one of the meditative arts. You sit at the side. And I would quite like to do that, but I wouldn't have a hook if it was me, because I'm kind of a vegetarian. I don't have very much hunting instinct particularly. But the sitting on the bank, quietly, that was something I got from my dad. You know, he was big on that contemplation of nature. Like so many people of his generation who spent their lives in factories, apart from a period fighting the Germans in World War II, That was his life, you know, a factory wallow. But any spare time, it's get down by the water, down by the River Severn, down by the canal, in the woods, and just go into this quietness. And this is just available to people. And there's some guys over there just sitting on the bridge, gazing, watching the birds. Some are having a slug of beer out of a tin. Some boat, somebody drifting down the locks in a boat. As I've mentioned before, more and more people are trying to migrate to this quiet life and buying boats to the extent that I think the British waterways, or whatever they're called now, the Canals and Rivers Trust, are not so keen on issuing licences because it's getting full. But you can understand the aspiration to do that or something like that. So I suppose what I'm actually doing here with this mildly rhapsodic account of the experience of using these alternative pathways through the city is an example of the kind of evaluation that I think that we need to make, or at least it's an important segment of it. And that is to do with how we feel about certain possible futures. How we feel about what we would like for our descendants, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. How we feel about the responsibility of leaving them a legacy. But also, I think we need to go deeper and look at why it is we feel how we feel. What have we inherited? What have we been enculturated into regarding our responses to various environments, various futures and so forth? And that, to my mind, forms a very important part of evaluation. In evaluation, we ourselves are at stake. I think this is something that nature understood. And for myself, you can tell I kind of value peace and quiet, nature. I mean, I do understand that sometimes nature is war as well as peace. As Heraclitus said, nature is war and peace. I understand that. So I also value excitement and the sublime, which is the way that we feel when nature terrifies us with huge storms, tsunami, and volcanoes and earthquakes and so forth. Or even just sometimes the blueness of the sky, this infinite blueness of the sky can, if you stare at it, it can throw you into the sublime response. The feeling of being tiny in the great scheme of things and in the great vastness of the cosmos. The blueness of the sky will do this for you. So evaluation has got an aspect to it that's to do with us, we ourselves. I think that more and more people will find themselves turning in this direction over the next decades. And I don't mean just in the West, just everywhere where modernity is striking. And I do mean modernity rather than post-modernity. Because what I mean is the impact of the technologies that flow directly out of Newton. And Newton's seeding of the European Enlightenment, and everything that flowed out of that for good and ill. And what I'm referring to here is the likelihood, the great likelihood, that many, very, very many jobs will disappear because of robotics, automation, artificial intelligence. And economists of every kind of stripe, really, conservative and left-wing and independent, are pretty well in agreement that 50% of jobs will disappear by 2030. She's not that far off. It's 11 and a half years, it's nothing. Driverless trucks will put millions of drivers out of work. And they'll be on stream in the next couple of years. 5 years tops, probably. And that's millions of driving jobs disappearing across Europe, across the Americas. And the rest of the world will follow. And there's quite a lot of white-collar jobs that will be automated as well. There's a information, processing, it's becoming more and more efficient and easier to manage. The interface, the user interface is becoming easier and more friendly. And this will have a huge impact as well. Now, there is a truism that whenever we have these changes in work patterns brought about by technological developments, which capitalist enterprises pursue in order to maintain an edge in the competitive market, usually result in more jobs being created, but of a different character. But I think this time, that's not going to happen. Even though I do think that we will be able to monetize our contributions to the conversation of humankind through the internet and so forth, and globally, there's quite a good chance of this happening. There'll be forces attempt to stop that from happening, of course. There are vested interests would like to see that not happen. But it stands a good chance of happening. And I think there's some pretty determined people with good skills, maybe genius even, working on that possibility. But there's a sense in which we'll become if we're reasonably educated, at least I would say, evaluators of the future. And that the lacuna in the Zeitgeist project will start to get made good with a conversation around the kind of future we want and why we want it. And we will be able to articulate how that involves us, how we ourselves are at stake, how our own personal experience feeds into and is entangled with the whole evaluation process, and now our biography, the things that have happened to us, our pasts, which are partly determinative of our tendencies and patterns of response. So what are you going to do with all this leisure is what I'm saying. You know, well, garden, grow wholesome organic food, write poetry, introspect, do yoga, go for walks, make beautiful things to share, help people. There are lots of wonderful and beautiful opportunities to live a very, very good human life. And as I've said, there will be struggle over this, there will be. There's a minority of people who look well placed to prosper greatly from the enslavement under robot overlords of a completely surveilled population. Unfortunately, there is, and there are people who are mightily turned on by the power of that and the wealth of that. Over and against that, there is nevertheless this possibility. But I think if the possibility of a good human life for the vast majority of the population is to be realised, it will require a much clearer idea of what it is to evaluate futures, social forms, cultural forms. So this, you might say, is evaluation part two. I know I did one some time back on evaluation, and I think I talked about value in respect to yoga, and how value in yoga is created by the practitioner but extracted by commodifying industries that surround it and spring up when they smell the possibility of making money out of the thing. And if you look back, you'll see that one. So this is, in a sense, it's a little bit tangential to that, but nevertheless, it's a consideration of value. And I'll keep promising to sort of go into this a bit more deeply. But in order to do so, I'm pretty sure that I've got to do some groundwork, putting in some suggestions, putting turning your head in a certain direction if you are going to follow me on this one. If you haven't seen the Zeitgeist films, I think they might well be on Netflix or some of these big providers, but the Zeitgeist, and then I think the Zeitgeist Revisited. Do watch. And if you can see Jacques Fresco on YouTube somewhere, have a look. But I mean, their basic idea is that we design the future. Yeah, we design the habitats, the cities, the modes of life. And as I said, it's kind of inspiring, but I think weak on evaluation. And to the extent that I think if anybody really started work on seriously realising a Zeitgeist-like city or something like that, that they would be in danger of failing because of the lacuna around evaluation. But if you can find them, do have a look. Very interesting, and ponder it a bit, I would say to you. That's my advice, what it's worth. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Thank you.